If then you have not been faithful in the unrighteous wealth, who will entrust to you the true riches? Luke 16:11. Hi, I'm Rob West. In that verse, Jesus reminds us that we're to be faithful stewards, managing His resources to further His kingdom. Chad Clark is with us today to talk about a movement of faithful stewards that you can join. Then it's on to your calls at 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial journey. Well, it's always a pleasure to have Chad Clark on the program. He's the executive director here at FaithFi, where he's always making sure we're on mission and have the tools to carry it out. Chad, great to have you back.
Happy to be back.
So, a movement of faithful stewards. That's a big idea, Chad. Tell us what that looks like, Chad, and what we're trying to do.
Well, it really has been a movement over many years. We have a lot of listeners that go all the way back to Larry Burkett in the 80s and 90s, then over out to Howard Dayton, and now to our very own Rob West. It's just been incredible to see how many people have committed to the stewardship journey. And we're seeing growing momentum of Christians who want to be good and faithful stewards of the resources God has entrusted to them. Yeah. And that's one of the main reasons we rebranded the ministry from MoneyWise to FaithFi earlier this year. You know, we recognize it's not just about being wise with money. It's about our faith influencing our money decisions. Yeah. Here at FaithFi, our mission is to equip Christians to integrate, that's the key word, their faith and financial decisions for the glory of God. And that integration, like I said, is so critical because we're often tempted to separate the two. Mm-hmm. We've got our Sunday morning faith, but then we go Monday through Saturday living as if God doesn't have any influence or any say in our lives. And here at FaithFi, we believe that the faith and the financial integration is absolutely critical, and that it's our faith that actually influences our financial decisions.
And that's really well said, Chad. And that's not always easy. Of course, among our listeners and users of the FaithFi app, there's a lot of questions out there. There's a growing sense of fear and anxiety with wars and rumors of wars, as well as economic and political uncertainty. Now, there's a lot of other financial resources out there trying to provide insights and solutions, but many of those are what we would call worldly advice.
Yeah, I think, you know, understanding what worldly advice looks like is it's really focused on us with little to no regard for God. And that's really where FaithFi, where we differentiate ourselves, is we want to replace the lies of the world where it's really about just our comfort, our security. It really becomes self-centered, and replace those empty promises with the truth of the gospel. Yeah. Our vision is to redeem God's design for money and to see people come to view God as their ultimate treasure. I'm going to just say that again because I just love this so much. Our vision here at FaithFi is that we redeem God's original design for money so that people would come to see God as their ultimate treasure. Because here's the key thing, Rob, when our heart treasures God above everything else, our financial decisions simply become an expression of who we are in Christ as we seek first His kingdom and His righteousness. And you were talking about uncertainty, and it's through faith that we navigate that uncertainty, whether it's preparing for the future or the financial decisions that we make every day. And that's why FaithFi is here, is to help guide people with practical biblical wisdom and tools and resources to help you steward what God has entrusted to you.
Yeah, and what's so exciting is we're seeing this incredible movement of faithful stewards that love God, they love their neighbor, and they're making wise decisions with the money God has entrusted to them. Now, I know that's an exciting vision for our listeners, and many of them want to get involved in that. How can they do that?
Rob, that's a great question. And here on Giving Tuesday, one of the best ways you can get involved is by supporting FaithFi financially. We're in our end-of-year fundraising campaign, and we're just really excited about what we're working on and getting ready to launch in 2024. We are getting ready to launch a brand new Bible study series in 2024 that's going to help cultivate your heart to be positioned to see God as your ultimate treasure. We're working on a brand new version of the FaithFi app to make it even easier to manage the resources God has entrusted to you. And we are looking to reach even more people with this incredible stewardship message. All you have to do is go to faithfi.com/give and join us on this journey.
That's awesome, Chad. Thanks for stopping by, my friend.
Thank you.
Well, it's Giving Tuesday, folks. If you'd like to help us reach our end-of-year giving goal, it's $250,000. You can help us do that by heading to faithfi.com and click Give. All right, your calls are next. 800-525-7000. 800-525-7000. We'll be right back.
For American Family Radio, I'm Charles Morris with Haven Ministries, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word. During the Christmas season, I think it's good for us to pause for a moment from all the busyness to reflect on Christ's coming. About 700 years before, the prophet Isaiah spoke of that day. He knew that when the Messiah came, everything would change. In Isaiah 9:6, we read, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders." In this promise, we realize that hope will come in the form of a child. But this humble child will have the government on his shoulders. That means all the authority on him. How does Christ attain this authority? Through his humility, death on a cross. He conquered sin by dying. That's true humility. You'll see Jesus more clearly through time in God's Word. Visit getanchor.com.
Are you struggling to fit your faith into your practice as a Christian financial advisor? The Certified Kingdom Advisor designation teaches you a step-by-step process to confidently deliver advice that aligns with Christian values. Discover the skills you need to help your clients make a kingdom impact. Get started today by enrolling in the CKA educational program at kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified. That's kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified.
Virginia Prodan lived fearlessly in a communist country. She was kidnapped and beaten, and her life was threatened. Virginia didn't back down and even led her would-be assassin to faith in Christ. She'll inspire you to stand for truth no matter the cost on the next Focus on the Family with Jim Daly.
Focus on the Family is heard each weekday morning at 5 o'clock Central on American Family Radio.
We are grateful for support from One Ascent Investments on the Faith and Finance program. They manage a comprehensive suite of value-based investment strategies designed to help Christian investors live aligned with what they value most. One Ascent believes that if your values inspire the way you live, they should also inspire the way you invest. This can be a unique form of worship. More information is available at investments.oneascent.com. That web address is investments.oneascent.com.
We're grateful for support from Movement Mortgage, who provides residential home loans in all 50 states. Guided by a mission to love and value people and a goal to redefine the mortgage process, Movement seeks to help others achieve their financial goals. You can find out more at movement.com/faith. Movement Mortgage LLC supports Equal Housing Opportunity, NMLS number 39179. For licensing information, please visit nmlsconsumeraccess.org.
Well, we're so thankful to have you with us today on Giving Tuesday. I'm Rob West. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. And it's time to take your calls and questions now on anything financial. The number to call today, 800-525-7000. That's right. We've got lines open. Our team is standing by and we're ready for your call. 800-525-7000 with that financial question you've been wrestling with. We want to help you think about it, process it through the lens of a biblical worldview, really picking up on this idea that Chad Clark, our executive director here at FaithFi, shared a moment ago, and that is that we're about equipping faithful stewards and really pursuing a vision that allows us to see all Christians recognizing God as their ultimate treasure. Because when we see God as our ultimate treasure, well, we know that He's the only one who can fulfill our deepest longings, not money and possessions. You see, when we replace the message of this world with the truth of the gospel, our financial decisions simply become a reflection of who we treasure most, God Himself. And now money becomes a tool to accomplish God's purposes. And one of the most effective and powerful ways to use that tool is to to invest in that which will not pass away, the eternal. And here on Giving Tuesday, what a great reminder for us to be thinking about being a generous people, being generous stewards as we take a portion of what God has entrusted to us and allow it to pass through us as a pipeline into God's activity. But we also need to use it to meet the needs of our family. That's our living expenses. We need to be aggressively trying to pay off debt and get out from being encumbered by debt. We need to save for the future appropriately. We also need to recognize that we need to be generous. How do we balance all of those things? Well, we look to Scripture to pull out principles and themes that help us navigate our role as stewards of God's money. Let's do that together. Again, 800-525-7000 is the number to call. Also coming up a little later in the broadcast, Bob Dahl stops by. He's been working on an essay related to some of the big themes related to, the important drivers for the current economic and investment outlook. He'll share a few of those with us as he's preparing to come out with his annual predictions, his 10 predictions for the new year, economically and investing related. Bob Dahl coming up a little later in our broadcast. All right, let's dive into your questions today. We're going to begin in Ohio. Hi, Ann. How can I help?
Yes, hi. Thank you for taking my call. Sure. So my husband and I were wondering some pros and cons of buffered accounts and income annuities. You know, what are the pros and cons and how might those fit into, you know, our portfolio as we get closer to retirement age?
Yeah. So that was going to be my first question. So you all are still working, is that right?
Yes, we currently are. That is true, yes.
Okay. All right. And how far away is retirement based on what you know today?
Well, we've been meeting with our advisor and potentially could retire next year if we would so choose to. I'm not sure if that's where the Lord's calling us yet, but financially we've been, you know, faithful and blessed. So it could be as soon as next year, but otherwise we're, you know, late 50s, early 60s,
okay,
age-wise.
Got it. Yeah, very good. Mm-hmm. And have you worked through your retirement budget just to determine, you know, what it will take for you all to cover your expenses in that season of life?
Yes, we have. Yes, okay. We've gone through that a couple times, yes.
Great. And how does that compare to the income sources that you'll have? I mean, does it require that you take Social Security early? Do you have enough in the way of retirement assets to fund your expenses? Kind of where did you come out on that exercise?
Yeah, the latter, actually. We have enough to fund our expenses for the foreseeable future and would not be taking Social Security later, into our mid-60s or so.
Yeah, and would that be an income stream from your retirement investments that you've accumulated in a 401k, let's say, or is it a guaranteed check like a pension check?
It would be from 401k and IRA accounts.
Okay, great. And what is the total, if you don't mind me asking, of all of those retirement investment accounts combined?
Sure. It's somewhere over $2 million.
Okay, great. And what do you think you'll need to pull monthly in the plan that you all put together prior to Social Security?
Right. We've been talking about somewhere around $100,000 a year, maybe a little bit less than that. We didn't do it monthly, but just annual. Yeah.
Yeah, that's great. So at 4%, which would be a good starting point, that was the number that Mr. Bengen came out with when he did that analysis that's, you know, a lot of people refer to as the 4% rule. Others say, no, you can go a little bit higher than that. Some try to be more conservative, but it's a good starting point. That would put you at $80,000 a year. And the idea would be that probably with somewhere around a 60-40 portfolio, bonds to stocks, or maybe a 70-30, that you could sustain that 4% withdrawal rate, see increases in line with inflation, and ideally never really impact the principal over time. Now, you mentioned buffer ETFs. You also mentioned annuities, fixed annuities. And those are both options to limit the downside risk. It's added protection. What you give up, because you always have to give up something in order to get that protection, you give up upside potential. And in the case of the annuities, you give up access to your funds because of the complexity of these insurance products. And so that would be the only thing to consider. Now, Now, the reason people will do that and use these products like a buffer ETF or a fixed indexed annuity or a fixed guaranteed annuity, probably in your case, would be because they want to transfer the risk away from themselves and the market risk over to an insurance company, or in the case of the buffer ETF, a product that's designed to limit downside. You know, the only, I would say, downside to that idea, though, is that, you know, normally when we look at kind of the performance of your stock allocation over time, we look at, you know, obviously there are going to be declines. You know, we're going to go through cyclical bear markets, but we also count on, you know, those raging bull markets to offset that. And then as long as we're properly diversified and not taking unnecessary risk by being overly allocated to stocks in your retirement season, then, you know, those downsides with the, you know, often prolonged upsides, you put all that together, and that's what helps us achieve the ultimate returns that we're looking for. And so whenever we introduce, you know, this idea that we'd protect on the downside, but we'd give up the upside, a lot of times over the long haul, and I'm talking 10, 20, 30 years, which is, if the Lord tarries and you're in good health, what you're going to need for this money, oftentimes it does put a damper on the total return just because, you know, we're missing out on some of that upside potential that we're counting on over the long haul. Now, you know, if you all have accumulated enough money, especially without relying on Social Security, which is obviously going to improve your financial picture when you get to that time, let's say you're going to wait till full retirement age, well, you may say, listen, it's, you know, feels good to us. It gives us greater peace of mind to go ahead and use one of these guaranteed products like an annuity, because we don't have to think about the market. And as long as we're getting enough to pay our bills, again, prior to even receiving Social Security, then, you know, that gives us, you know, the ability to sleep a little bit better at night because we don't have to worry about what the market's doing, regardless of what's happening economically. So I can get on board with that as long as you understand the trade-offs of the upside potential and the access to the funds in the case of the annuity. Does that make sense?
It does. Yes. Thank you.
All right. Very good. Listen, sounds like you guys are well planned and you've got a good strategy here heading into this next season of life. Hey, be prayerful about what God has for you when you get there. Thanks for your call today. We'll be right back on Faith and Finance. Stick around.
The Hawaiian Electric Utility decided to go seize its property. What do we see about agencies that lie is that they cover up? Seize the evidence, then he came with a new story. That's not a good pattern, guys.
I don't want to bear false witness. Let's not fight for heaven using the tools of hell. So I repeat myself only in defense of the people of Maui, because I want to make sure their voices are heard.
Hear Todd Herman on A Disciple's View, weekdays, 12 p.m. Central on AFR.
We're grateful for support from Guidestone, whose diversified suite of investment solutions align with Christian values to create positive change in the world. More information is available at GuidestoneFunds.com. Investing involves risk, including potential loss of principal. Carefully consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of Guidestone Funds before investing. They're distributed by Foresight Funds Distributors, LLC, which is not an advisory affiliate, a registered investment advisor, nor do they provide investment advice.
Spreading the love and message of Jesus just got easier. The Christmas Bundle helps break the ice and open the door to share the gospel. It contains a Christmas shirt, 3 Christmas button or wristband 10 packs, 8 ounces of Noel coffee, the Advent Alphabet Book, a Hope of All the Earth CD, and a 10-pack of Isaiah 9:6 stickers, all at a very special price. Get your Christmas Bundle today at resources.afa.net.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the Faith and Finance program. For more than 30 years, they've been helping Christians reach their financial goals with step-by-step guidance for investors at every stage, from those just getting started to those getting ready for retirement. Through scriptural principles and practical suggestions, SMI offers financial wisdom for living well. More information, including the short video webinar on profit and peace of mind, no matter what's happening in the market, is available at soundmindinvesting.org.
This year has just flown by. I know, it's already November.
As this year comes to a close, the AFA Foundation would like to invite you to make a planned gift to American Family Association. Consider the many ways your planned gift can help restore a biblical worldview in our nation, as well as bring financial stability to your family. Call 800-326-4543, extension 345, or visit our website at afafoundation.net.
Hey, Greg, I need some advice.
Oh, what's up?
I'm really struggling with finding ways to cut back. With costs going up, especially in healthcare, what do you guys do?
We use CHM, Christian Healthcare Ministries. It's a health cost sharing ministry that's been sharing members' eligible medical bills for over 40 years. Sure helped us stick to our budget. And here's the website, chministries.org. chministries.org.
Thanks for joining us today on Giving Tuesday. If you want to support our work here at Faith and Finance on American Family Radio, just head to faithfi.com. That's faithfi.com. When you click give, you'll see our end of the year message that's all about the vision and mission of Faith Fi and where we're headed in 2024. We just put it together. It just launched this morning. We'd love for you to check it out and then prayerfully consider supporting our work here at Faith Fi. Just head to faithfi.com. That's faithfi.com and click give. And we'd love for you to check out where we believe God is leading in the next year. All right, we're taking your phone calls today. It looks like all the lines are full. So if you're getting a busy signal, keep calling. We'd love to get you on the program today. Let's head back to the phones. To Texas we go. Hi, Monty. How can I help, sir?
Good morning, Dan. Thank you for taking my call. Can you hear me well?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Good morning. I'm 75 year old. My wife passed away a few years ago, and I have conflicting information regarding Social Security benefit. She has a higher Social Security benefit. Do I get her full Social Security benefit, SS benefit, or do I get half?
Yes. So as a survivor's benefit, you can get up to 100% of that benefit amount so long as you are full retirement age or older. If you're taking that survivor's benefit between ages 60 and full retirement age, so prior to full retirement age, you'll get somewhere between 71.5% and 99% of the benefit. But if you're full retirement age or older, you can get up to 100% of that survivor benefit from your spouse, or you can take your own, whichever is higher. You can't collect both. The 50% is for a spouse where, they're claiming a spousal benefit with the other spouse still living, which is different than a survivor's benefit. Does that make sense?
I'm not sure, but from what I understand, what you're saying is that I can get 100% if I have a retirement age.
If you reach full retirement age. No, you'd have to look it up based on your birthday. It's somewhere between 66 and 67. So if you wait until full retirement age, you could get 100% of that benefit as a surviving spouse, which is different than the spousal benefit that you get when you have a living spouse, which is up to 50%.
Okay, she passed away a few years ago, and I already got mine, but okay. I'm getting conflicting
yeah.
opinions.
Yeah, what is your age?
I'm 75, and I think I started getting mine at the age of 66.
Yeah. Okay. So you were likely your full retirement age. So you'd want to check with the Social Security Administration. I'd probably schedule a meeting locally at the office, or you could call them. It sometimes will take a bit to get through. But what you should be able to do is collect. You can switch from your benefit to your survivor's benefit if that happens to be higher. Again, you can take the higher of the two, and there's a good possibility, just based on what I'm hearing, that you could get 100% of your spouse's benefit, assuming that benefit is higher, and then you could switch.
Yeah, definitely hers is higher, but I'm not sure. So when you say to be able to get the full benefit of my spouse, I should be what, with full retirement age, like 66, or
yes,
what is the full retirement?
Yeah, you'd have to be at least full retirement age in order to get that, which you're obviously well beyond that, and so you should be able to get 100% of that benefit. So I would reach out to SSA.gov and try to schedule a meeting, and they can pull up your actual record as well as your wife's and determine what makes the most sense, and you may find that it's better for you to switch over to survivor's benefits. Monty, all the best to you. I'm so sorry to hear about your wife's passing, but glad we could have you on the program today. Let's go to Oklahoma. Hi, Greg. How can I help you, sir?
Hey, good morning. Thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to affirm your theme today of wherever your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And so
yes.
I just want to encourage your listeners to see what kingdoms they are funding.
Yeah.
You know, do a little audit and see where your money is going, and then be very intentional about redirecting it to the kingdoms that advance your own values.
Because
you could be throwing your money at like a Disney streaming service or something that is totally woke and not supporting the gospel and not advancing the cause of Christ. You can redirect that and really, really have an impact on the kingdom if folks would do that audit and see what kingdoms they're funding. And I would say it this way. Wherever your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Man, if you're funding something woke or silly, your heart's going to be there. So you need to get it into the kingdom to get your heart and make Jesus your treasure.
Hmm. You know, well said, Greg. You know, we can say what Jesus said another way, and that is our heart follows our money. And so wherever your money's going, your heart's going with it. And so I think you're exactly right. You know, if we think about our allocation of God's money, because that's what it is. Remember, we're stewards or managers. And if we think about the way we're allocating God's money as a picture of what we truly treasure and what we value and where we've placed our trust, it can be very convicting, and it should. Now, that's not meant to be, you know, wagging a finger at you, but it is, I think, an important point that Greg makes, that all of us, myself included, need to step back from time to time and ask ourselves some hard questions. What does my allocation of God's money say about what's truly important to me? And that's why our vision here at FaithFi is that all of God's people, all Christians, would see God as their ultimate treasure, not material things, not the things of this world, not money. Now, it's not that money's the root of all evil. Remember, the Bible says the love of money is the root of all evil. But when we put God in his rightful place as our ultimate treasure, then money, God's money, takes on a whole different purpose. It becomes a tool to accomplish God's purposes. And if that's not aligned with your values and convictions as a believer, well, maybe it's time to make some changes. Greg, it's a great word, my friend. Thanks for calling today. Back with much more on Faith and Finance just around the corner.
If the heavy burden of debt is robbing you of freedom and peace of mind, Christian credit counselors can help. We're a nationwide nonprofit credit counseling organization that has helped over 300,000 individuals in the last 27 years get out of credit card debt 80% faster while honoring that debt in full. To learn how Christian credit counselors can help you, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org or call 800-557-1985.
Angels seem to be, in some special way, particularly geared to give instructions. And you know what? That's at the very core of who they are as individuals. Because what does the word angel mean? At its very basic core meaning is the word messenger.
Dr. David Jeremiah continues his series, Angels, Who They Are and How They Help, next time on Turning Point.
5:30 a.m. and 7 p.m. Central on American Family Radio.
We are grateful for support from Eventide Investments on the Faith and Finance program. Eventide's approach to values-based investing is grounded in the belief that humankind was created in the image of God, with intrinsic dignity, value, and worth. Eventide calls this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at eventideinvestments.com. That's eventideinvestments.com.
Are you investing in the future of God's kingdom or wonder how your money can make the most impact for his purposes? Kenneth Boa and Russ Crossan wrote the book Leverage, Using Temporal Wealth for Eternal Gain, to guide these discussions and build a financial legacy where moth nor rust destroy. Request your copy with your gift of any amount at faithfi.com. Your donation helps us share God's financial principles with others. Leverage your resources for greater impact today.
Interested in seminary but don't think it will work in this season in life? Wesley Biblical Seminary offers flexible options that allow you to take classes live, no matter where you are. At WBS, we don't just educate people, we develop trusted leaders for faithful churches. It's time for you to respond to the calling God has on your life. Take classes from an institution that you can trust for a calling that will not go away. Learn more about your opportunities at wbs.edu. That's wbs.edu.
As the leading advocate for the Christian financial industry, Kingdom Advisors serves the public by promoting the integration of a biblical worldview across every aspect of the financial services industry. And we serve a growing network of thousands of Christian financial professionals, equipping and empowering them to carry biblical financial wisdom to their clients, peers, and community. For more information, visit KingdomAdvisors.com. That's KingdomAdvisors.com.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. We're taking your calls and questions. We have a few lines open. You tried to get through earlier and you couldn't. Now's a great time to call. 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. Let's go to Mississippi. Hi, Jim. How can I help?
Hi. Thanks for taking my call, Rob.
You're welcome, sir. Thanks for calling.
Recently, my father passed away, and he had put his home place, the old homestead, in my name in a warranty deed, a life estate.
And, yes, sir.
And I want to pass it on to my son.
Yeah.
Now, and I was wondering if there was a best way, a least expensive way to do.
Yeah.
Deal with that.
Yeah, Jim, you know, the best way, I mean, from a tax standpoint, to pass that to your son is through inheritance. Because if you were to do, let's say, a quitclaim deed right now and just place his name on the property, you could do that. It's very simple to do, and the property would be his at that point. The problem is that he would inherit your cost basis, which, given that you just received it at your father's death through that life estate, you got that stepped up basis. So the new cost basis is the market value as of the date of death. Now, let's say you live, you know, a while, the Lord's not through with you yet, and, you know, 10 years passes, and, you know, you have given this property to your son through a quitclaim deed, but you're, you know, still using it, or it's just sitting, your son's not enjoying it. You know, at that point, and he were to sell it, he would have to pay the capital gains on all the gains over that 10-year period, in my example, versus him receiving it as an inheritance at your death, like you did with your father, he would then enjoy that step up in cost basis so that if he turned around and sold it right after you passed away, he wouldn't have any capital gains. So you just have to decide, is there a benefit to you putting it in his name now, and him retaining that cost basis from your father's date of death, or would you rather him receive it through either a trust or a warrant, you know, a transfer on death deed, if your state allows, such that he would have that once again, a step up in cost basis at your passing. Does that make sense?
It does, but he is wanting to build there. So
okay, yeah,
he would need to homestead, you know, get the homestead exemption on it.
Got
and
it.
Also be in his name so that he could build.
Yeah.
And it's family land that's been in the family for a long, long time. And that's one reason I want to go ahead and pass it to him to keep
okay.
it in the family.
Well, the good news is, you know, because you received it through inheritance when it transferred at your dad's death, then we got that initial step up in basis at his passing. So that's good, because that means that, you know, we're not going all the way back to when the family originally bought it, you know, decades ago. And so I agree with you. If he's looking to build on it and really needs it in his name for purposes of the construction and, you know, getting a mortgage, let's say, then, yeah, you're going to want to reach out probably to a real estate attorney to put together a quick claim deed that would allow you to transfer this property to him. It would be considered a gift, so you'd have to file a gift tax return, but there's not going to be any taxes due until you get above the lifetime exemption that you have of north of $12 million. So you don't have to worry about that. And then at that point, it would be in your son's name, filed with the county deed office, and then he could take it from there as his property.
Okay, that's some great information. I really appreciate it.
You are very welcome, sir. We appreciate your call today, and all the best to you. Thanks for being on the program. We've got some lines open, folks. The number to call is 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. By the way, Sharon called and was not able to hold. She was asking about I-bonds. Specifically, is it wise to sell them? It can be. I-bonds were fairly attractive a couple of years ago, especially when we had the 40-year high inflation. The I-bond composite interest rate between the fixed and the variable portion got up to north of 9%. A lot of folks were picking up inflation bonds at that point through the U.S. Treasury up to the $10,000 limit that they could purchase, and then another five beyond that through a tax refund through your tax return. But now that the rates are coming back down, they're in the fours, and they're going to continue to head down as the Fed fights inflation through these higher interest rates, you know, you can do better elsewhere. So I think for money, you know, at that time we were saying this is probably not a bad idea for your 1 to 3 year money. But if you've enjoyed those higher rates and now you're seeing them down below, let's say what you could get in a 1 year CD, probably makes some sense to go ahead and sell out of those I bonds and transition over. A couple of things to keep in mind. You have to keep them for 12 months. So you can't redeem them until you get to that 12-month mark. But if you do that after 12 months, but less than 5 years, you will have a penalty. It's small. It'll be 3 months worth of interest that they will reclaim or just not pay to you as a penalty for getting out prior to the 5-year mark. But you still likely enjoyed a great rate over the time that you owned them, especially if you had some of these I bonds back when they were paying 9% plus. So it can make some sense for you to go ahead and redeem that. You do that at treasurydirect.gov. Once it's redeemed, you would then be able to transfer it to whatever account you have linked to your Treasury Direct account. And at that point, you could redeploy that into, let's say, a certificate of deposit. So great question, Sharon, and we appreciate your call today. We've got some lines open. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. Also, in just a bit, we'll be talking to Bob Dahl. We'll look forward to hearing from Bob as we talk about where the market's headed from here. You know, Christmas is just around the corner. I know it's hard to believe. And the great Christian apologist and author G.K. Chesterton once said, "There are two ways to get enough. One is to continue to accumulate more and more. The other is to desire less." A secular worldview tells us that more is always better, so there's no need to accumulate. The Christian worldview, there's no end to accumulation, I should say, is what the secular worldview says. The Christian worldview turns that idea upside down. According to Chesterton, enough isn't about getting more. It's about wanting less. So how do we apply that to money matters and how much is enough really as we think about being God's people? Well, I think the first step is to understand the difference between needs and wants. You know, believers in God serve a God who promises to meet or supply our basic needs. This means when we put Jesus first, we'll always have enough of what we need to live, and we can trust God to know what that is. You know, where people get confused is in the matter of wants and desires, the things that are not essential for survival. So how much is enough of those? Well, I think this is a matter of priorities. God has to be first. He either exists and is sovereign, or he doesn't exist and you're on your own. But once you commit to following Christ, you admit that God is sovereign, and that changes everything. You see, placing him first means acknowledging his ownership of everything. And then as the Holy Spirit works in your heart, your motivation to accumulate gradually changes by the grace of God from self-centered to God-centered. That's what we want to help you focus on in this program each day. Listen, we're going to take a quick break and then come back with Bob Dahl and your questions on Faith and Finance. Stick around.
Hello, I'm Don Hawkins, here to tell you about Encouragement Live. 55 minutes of industrial strength radio encouragement featuring resourceful guests plus practical biblical insights to help you face life's challenges. We'll be taking your phone calls, so plan to join us for Encouragement Live, Saturdays at 7:05 p.m. Central, 8:05 p.m. Eastern, here on American Family Radio.
Jenna Ellis in the morning.
You need to be very concerned about what your children are being exposed to if they go to a public school, or even if they go to a Christian school. Parents are not just allowed, they have a constitutionally protected fundamental right that is God-given to direct the education, well-being, and faith options of their children.
Jenna Ellis in the morning, weekdays at 7 Central on American Family Radio.
Absolutely free. We know you've learned to be suspicious of those words, but really, you can get biblical financial wisdom delivered to your inbox each week absolutely free. Articles, videos, podcasts, and special offers on biblical resources. Nearly 60,000 people receive our free weekly wisdom email, and you can too. Create your free FaithFi account by going to faithfi.com and click sign up to begin receiving weekly wisdom in your inbox.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the Faith and Finance program. If you have money in a retirement account or just a general investing account, you know the stock market can sometimes seem like a roller coaster. But it is possible to enjoy both profit and peace of mind in investing, no matter what's happening in the market. You can see a short video webinar on that topic at soundmindinvesting.org. Since 1990, Sound Mind Investing has sought to offer financial wisdom for living well. Soundmindinvesting.org.
Well, it's great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. Joining us in this segment of the broadcast, our good friend Bob Dahl. He's Chief Investment Officer at Crossmark Global Investments, a sought-after speaker, regular contributor on CNBC and Fox Business. He joins us each week with his market analysis and commentary. And Bob, you've been doing some writing as of late, working on a short essay highlighting some of the really key drivers for economics and investing moving forward. Obviously, some of these themes we've been talking about for a long time, but what kind of bubbles up to the surface for you on this work you've been?
The big one, in my view, Rob, is how much will earnings for the U.S. stock market be up next year? Yeah. The consensus is 11%. 11's noticeably above the long-term average, and most people are expecting an economic slowdown, some of us perhaps a mild recession. I don't see how we get 11% in any of those scenarios, and therefore earnings estimates are probably under pressure. I hope I'm wrong, yeah. But if I'm not, we'll get more setbacks like we did from the August and September sell-off, if you will.
Yeah, it seems like some of the big bank economists are out with maybe a rosier picture than consensus for next year. I was just seeing this morning the B of A Global Research head said they expect 2024 to be the year when central banks can orchestrate that soft landing. And, you know, they're expecting perhaps the Fed to make its first rate cut in June and then cutting 25 points per quarter. Deutsche Bank was a little less up, but still calling for that mild recession. So I think the jury's still out about whether or not we can engineer a soft landing. And then the big question is, when will the Fed start to cut? Is that right?
I think that's exactly right. If we do engineer a soft landing, Soft means weakish economy.
Yeah.
And that means earnings are going to grow less than normal, which is not 11. The only way we get 11, in my view, is if the economy grows better than expected, and then we'll have the inflation problem continue to be dealt with. So
yeah.
You can't, in my view, can't have it both ways, especially at these valuation levels, Rob.
Yeah, that's really helpful. All right, Bob, what about the longer term? I mean, when we look out over the next 10 years, obviously much more difficult to predict, but what are you seeing when we look at that time frame?
Good, but not great returns. You know, we've been spoiled here in the last few decades. As interest rates and inflation came down, P.E. ratios went up, and earnings growth was reasonably good. And so that created above normal returns, both for stocks and bonds. And the last couple of years, it's not been quite so simple. And I think over the next, call it 10 years, we'll have positive returns, but the number behind the positive sign is probably a mid-single-digit number as opposed to, you know, 14-ish that we've enjoyed for recent decades.
Yeah. So that doesn't automatically mean, you know, a sideways market, but it could mean that we see more modest returns over the next decade. Would that be your expectation?
Absolutely right. And for those like me that are in the business that pick stocks for clients and portfolios every day, we got to be in the right stocks.
Yeah, that's right.
I mean, that's always right. The case. But in the last four decades, if you were in the wrong stocks, valuation increases might have bailed you out. I think it's going to be hard. Doesn't mean we can't make money. It's just going to work harder to make a somewhat lower return.
Yeah. So all eyes on both domestic and global inflation over that 10-year period. Obviously, the geopolitical environment is another wild card that's going to affect where we head from here over the next decade, right?
For sure. Geopolitics are a big issue. And as you and I have discussed before, Rob, until recently, the U.S. was kind of the boy with a big club, and people respected that. And so it isn't that we didn't have conflagrations here and there, but they were fewer. Now we've got Russia, Ukraine. We've got the situation in the Middle East. We have concerns around China, and there are other areas that are bubbling up. Will Iran get a nuclear weapon, et cetera, et cetera? And that means that the geopolitical situations just more treacherous. We got to keep our eye on it carefully and pray to the good Lord that there's relative peace.
Yeah, no question about that. Bob, let's finish with what this means for the person listening today. So given what you just said about more modest expectations over the next decade, what about somebody who's kind of seeing retirement right around the corner? What impact would this have on them in terms of how they think about their portfolios?
Yeah, it means, like always, don't panic out when things sell off and don't jump in after things have risen. Have a long-term time horizon. Have expectations that are grounded in reality, not way above what you're likely to get, so you're constantly disappointed. And, have that long-term plan and make sure, I heard your comment before, how much is enough? Boy, I deal with that all the time. How much is enough, Christian and non-Christian? They don't say it this directly, but it's, a little bit more. If I just had a little bit more, my giving would go up and life would be great. God's given us what he has given us. He might give us more. He might give us less. Let's be prudent and honor him because it's all his in the first place.
Well said, Bob. Well, that's a great place to leave it for today. Thanks for stopping by, my friend.
God bless.
All right. That's Bob Dolly's Chief Investment Officer at Crossmark Global Investments. You can learn more and sign up for his weekly Dolls Deliberations at crossmarkglobal.com. All right. Let's round out the program today with your questions heading to Texas. Hi, Mike. Thanks for calling, sir. Go ahead.
Yes, sir. I had a question in regards to I work for a company that doesn't offer 401k, and I'm trying to see what would be my wisest way to go about investing to gain revenue long-term for, like, retirement and so forth.
Yes, sir. Do you have a small business or do you work full-time as an employee of a company? They just don't have a retirement account.
I work full-time for a small company that just doesn't offer it.
Okay. But you're not classified as an independent contractor. You are, in fact, an employee, W-2, correct?
Yes, sir.
Okay. So I think one option would be to see if you could start a conversation with your employer about offering a retirement plan. They don't have to offer something complicated and complex like a 401k, which is often difficult for a small business because of the administration and the costs. So they could do something like a simple IRA, S-I-M-P-L-E, and that really is, like it's named, simple to set up and administer, and that might be a great way for them to begin to, as the company grows, attract and retain employees, because a lot of folks are looking to be employed by companies and ministries that offer a retirement benefit. So that might be, you know, something, and it may take some time, but it's certainly something to look at. Now, how do you proceed from here? Well, the first thing I would do is definitely be funding an IRA every year, whether that's a traditional or a Roth IRA. This year, if you're under age 50, you could put in $6,500. Over age 50, you can put in $7,500, an additional $1,000. And then you could turn around and do that again for next year in 2024, and the limits went up by $500. So the limit for next year is $7,000. So I would, at a minimum, be funding an IRA fully every year. Now, we recommend generally that you put 10 to 15% of your pay into your retirement account. And what you may find is that, you know, if you're going to try to do that and you have the ability to do so, you may reach that contribution limit and still want to be able to put more money away. At that point, you could look at, you know, other options for tax-deferred investments, such as an annuity or a whole life insurance policy. You know, these aren't my typical go-to for retirement, but once you've exhausted all of your options, and in your case, that's really the IRA, they can be another way for you to put away, you know, additional funds and get that tax deferred growth, which is helpful, because then taxes don't put a drag on the returns while the money's growing and compounding over time. Have you ever visited, Mike, with a financial advisor?
No, sir.
All right. I think that might be a good next step for you, you know, for you to connect with a certified Kingdom advisor there in Texas. The way to do that is just head to our website at faithfi.com. That's faithfi.com. And then right there at the top of the page, you'll see a button that says Find a CKA. And I think that would be a great choice for you, because you could sit down with somebody, do some retirement planning. They could help you determine what your ultimate long-term retirement savings goal is that would meet your needs in that season of life, and then help you put those accounts in place, and even help you get set up, you know, to automatically fund those. So again, that's the Certified Kingdom Advisor designation. That's what we recommend. And you can do that at faithfi.com and just click Find a CKA. Is that helpful?
Yes, sir. Definitely.
All right.
Thank you.
Very good. Mike, thanks for your call today. God bless you, my friend. Thanks for being on the program. Well, folks, so thankful to have each of you with us today. I'm grateful for your calls and questions. And, you know, here on Giving Tuesday, I would just circle back to where we started today. You know, at FaithFi, our vision is that every Christian would see God as their ultimate treasure and then allow money to be a tool to accomplish God's purposes, and have our financial decisions simply become a reflection of who we treasure most, and that is God Himself. Listen, folks, if you'd like to help support our work here at Faith and Finance so we can equip faithful stewards to handle God's money wisely into 2024. We're trying to reach our year-end listener giving goal of $250,000. We're well on our way, but we still have a ways to go, and you can help us get there. Just head to faithfi.com/give. That's faithfi.com/give, and you can read all about it. Hey, let me say thanks to my team today, Robert Sutherland, Robert Youngblood, and Devin Patrick. Couldn't do it without them. I'm Rob West. This has been Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Go out and live for Jesus, and we'll see you tomorrow. Bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.